Every year, around the fall, I make sure to call my grandma to check up on her and the rest of the family. They live in South Florida, which is Hurricane Central. Even though she's from Jamaica and has dealt with hurricanes regularly throughout her life, I still worry about her during hurricane season. She's getting older, and hurricanes are getting stronger. Scientists confirmed that hotter temperatures create stronger winds and more intense rainfall. So as the planet warms, the worse hurricanes become. And sometimes, you don't even see it coming.
Well, we're talking about some dangerous weather. Hurricane Otis slamming into Mexico's Pacific coast overnight as a catastrophic Category 5 storm. That hurricane bringing heavy rains.
From Feet in Two Worlds, this is Home Interrupted, a podcast that examines the connection between immigrants and climate change. I'm Miggy Monda. On October 25th, 2023, the strongest Pacific hurricane in recent history took the lives of at least 52 people. Dozens are still listed as missing. Right after the storm, many were left homeless without food or water and without a phone to call for help. And what about those who survived? Producer and reporter Greta Diaz-Gonzalez-Vasquez talked to people both in Mexico and the United States who are picking up the pieces following Otis. What she found is that months after the storm, many people still face difficult choices they never anticipated.
A day after Hurricane Otis hit Acapulco on the southwestern coast of Mexico, Juvenal Santa Maria Contreras listened to a voice message that his cousin Pamela Contreras Franco sent him. She lives in Acapulco. The hurricane heavily damaged her home, her neighborhood, and her city. Pamela was asking for help.
Agua porque desafortunadamente pues tenemos un poquito de dinero pero no hay donde comprar.
She asked Juvenal, who lives in Chilpancingo, an hour away from the coast, to bring water and food. She had the money to pay for what she needed, but the grocery stores had been looted, she said. People had started taking drastic measures, and that included Pamela and her family.
Me da vergüenza, pero también tuvimos que entrarle porque cuando quisiéramos comprar, no iba a haber dónde. Entonces,
I'm ashamed, Pamela said. Since there was nowhere to buy things, she had taken part in the looting. The situation had forced her to. She told her cousin Juvenal that they needed milk, water, food. They needed to survive. After hearing the voice message, Juvenal packed his pickup truck with food and water and started driving towards Acapulco. But he couldn't get there.
La carretera prácticamente estaba inundada.
The road was flooded. The bridges were flooded. Pamela's family, they would have to wait. But conditions were getting worse. Pamela said that she was worried that Juvenal and his family would be robbed on the way since there were reports of highway robberies. But Juvenal had tunnel vision. All he cared about was bringing help to Pamela and her children. He waited a whole day before the main road was cleared by private construction companies. On the third day after the hurricane, Juvenal drove through flooded streets and was finally able to bring them food and water. Then he loaded his truck and headed back to his home in Chilpancingo. This time, he was bringing members of his family to safety.
Yo me traje como a siete jóvenes, adolescentes, y niños.
I took seven kids with me, he recalls. They lived with Juvenal, his wife and three children, for 2 weeks after the hurricane. Some stayed for about a month. Among those children was Pamela's four-year-old daughter, Aitana. Even before Otis, Aitana had a fever that wouldn't break. After the hurricane, it was impossible to find a doctor. The best option was for Aitana to go with Juvenal to Chilpancingo. Pamela couldn't go with her because she had to look after her home and her two other daughters. So she sent Aitana's grandmother instead. By the time they made it to Juvenal's house, there was a doctor waiting to see Aitana.
Me le dieron medicamento y todo. Y ya. Me dijo, tú tranquila, la niña está bien.
Pamela says a doctor gave Aitana medicine. Juvenal reassured Pamela, telling her that her daughter was going to be okay. Then he added, do whatever you have to do over there. Take the time you need. They'll be here with me. Being relatively close to Acapulco meant that Juvenal could help his family. He created a plan on the go because, just like everyone else, he wasn't prepared for a hurricane as big and as powerful as Otis. But Juvenal did have experience helping people in need. He runs an organization called Guerrero Migrante, or Immigrants from the State of Guerrero, that works with Mexican families on both sides of the U.S.-Mexico border. However, when Hurricane Otis hit, it forced Guerrero Migrante to confront the impact of climate change on the families it serves.
Jamás nos imaginamos la fuerza con la que iba a pegar.
We never, ever imagined how devastating this hurricane would be, Juvenal said.
This storm really kind of fooled everybody. This is the power of climate change. Because of these record warm waters, this thing rapidly intensified to a Category 5 storm.
Nobody expected Otis to be a Category 5 hurricane. With almost no warning, very late at night on October 24, 2023, Hurricane Otis hit the coast of Guerrero with winds up to 165 miles per hour. Natural disasters can flip our world upside down, literally and metaphorically. After a flood, a wildfire, or a hurricane, people are left having to make tough decisions. And as climate change worsens, we are seeing more people forced to make those decisions in uncharted territory. Some, like Pamela, have to send their children to safety while they stay behind to begin rebuilding their homes. Not an easy decision, even if it's only for a couple of weeks. Others have to permanently leave their home, their city, and their country. The World Bank estimates that over 3 million Mexicans may suffer climate-related displacement by the year 2050. Looking for new opportunities, many leave in search of the American dream. We love the romanticized idea that people can start over in a new country. But for many, it's not that easy. There are physical and political borders to cross. There's the journey and the immigration laws. And then the question, what if life is not better on the other side of the border? What if you leave and another disaster strikes your hometown? What about the family members you left behind? How do you help them pick up the pieces if you live in a different country? For Zayla Contreras Mendoza, a Mexican immigrant who lives in Atlanta, questions such as these took on a greater urgency after Hurricane Otis. Her mother lives in Acapulco, so Zayla became one of the many people that turned to Juvenal and Guerrero Migrante for help.
Como le dije anteriormente, uno ya sabe más o menos con Paulina supimos que es lo que se nos daña.
Zayla says she could picture the damage having lived through previous hurricanes. But since there were no phone lines, she didn't hear from her family for 2 weeks after Otis. Not a single call or text. She prayed. There was nothing else to do but pray. She was really worried about her family, especially her mom.
Ella es mi mundo, es mi razón de ser, mi razón de seguir luchando día a día en este país para dar una mejor vida a ella.
Zayla says that her mom is her world. Everything Zayla does is for her mom to have a better life at home in Mexico. In fact, her mom is the reason she lives in Atlanta. Growing up, her mom had a small business selling meat in Acapulco. Zayla and her brother would help her cook and clean. But in 2001, 2 years after her mom was diagnosed with cancer, 19-year-old Zayla had to move to the U.S.
Ella ya no pudo regresar a trabajar. Así que pues nos tocó dejar de estudiar a un hermano.
Zayla says that when her mom couldn't work anymore, she and her older brother left school and migrated to the U.S. so the family could have a stable income. She has been in Atlanta since then, cleaning houses and working in a kitchen. Despite living in two different countries, Zayla and her mom are pretty close. But when Otis hit, the distance between them was unbearable. They didn't talk directly to each other for over a month. More than ever, Zayla wished she was home in Acapulco with her mom. But then, 2 weeks after Otis, Zayla finally received texts from her sister and nephew. She found out that a lot of her mom's things had been ruined by the hurricane.
Lo que sí la, fue la que me dijo que se le dañó el colchónigo fue mi hermana. Que se le dañó su colchón.
Her mom had been sleeping on a couch and her back was hurting, she says. Zayla wished she could send her a mattress. One day, scrolling through Facebook, she saw a post from Juvenal.
Pues le digo esa que decía que de allá de Guerrero, quien quería mandarle cosas a su familia.
The Post said that if anyone in the U.S. wanted to send anything to their parents, Guerrero Migrante would deliver it, free of charge. She says she sent Juvenal a direct message, and he agreed to make a delivery to her mom. Sayla went online to Sam's Club and bought a mattress, clothes, and food. Soon, Juvenal sent her a video of him arriving at her mom's house. The video was very short, but her nephew told her that her mom was doing well.
Yo nada más hablaba con mi sobrino cuando él se iba a cuidar la casa de su mamá, que él se iba en las noches. Ya me hablaba de la casa de su mamá y ya me decía.
He told her that her mom cried when she received everything. And even though she was happy, she didn't like anyone, like her kids, to worry about her. But Sayla couldn't help it. How could she not worry about her mom?
No, pues a mí significa mucho poder ayudarla a ella. Mientras ella esté bien, yo estoy bien. Si ella está mal, pues yo me pongo mal.
For Sayla, it means a lot to be able to help her mom. She says that if her mom is doing well, then she's doing well. But if her mom is struggling, then so is she. But even when it hurts to be apart, Sayla says she would never consider bringing her mom to the U.S. to live.
Pero traerla a vivir, no creo. Ella no es para este país quedarse. Para una persona mayor ya es muy difícil adaptarse a este país.
This country is not for her, she says. It's hard for an older person to adapt to the U.S.
No es una persona mayor, es una persona libre. Ella sale de su casa, va al mercado.
In Mexico, her mom is free. She can walk anywhere. In the U.S., she would depend on a car. Plus, Sayla says, her mom has everything that she needs, including a good doctor she trusts, and that would be hard to find in the U.S. We always hear stories of people migrating for a better life elsewhere. And as extreme weather caused by climate change intensifies, more and more people are moving to places that seem safer. But all Sayla wants is to go home to Acapulco.
Ah, no, yo mi sueño es regresar. Regresar con mi mamá, estar allá, disfrutarla, y poder disfrutar un poco de lo que uno ha trabajado aquí.
My dream is to go back and be with my mom, Sayla says. I want to be able to enjoy just a little bit of what I have worked for in the U.S.
For some people like Sayla, when disaster strikes, all they can think about is getting back home. But for others, events like Otis convince people what they once called home isn't safe anymore. After the break, reporter Greta speaks with another Mexican immigrant who is trying to get her parents out of Acapulco. This is Home Interrupted from Feeding Two Worlds. Stay tuned. Before the break, you heard how Hurricane Otis forced some people to take drastic measures to survive. Reporter Greta Diaz-Gonzalez-Vasquez continues with the story of another family separated by the U.S.-Mexico border and the tough choices they face after the storm.
In the aftermath of Hurricane Otis, Vera Ocampo wanted her parents to leave Acapulco for good and come live with her in the U.S., where she could make sure they were safe.
So I'm based in Minnesota. I'm a college professor, and my sister lives in Miami. So we're both actually living full-time in the United States, and my parents live full-time in Guerrero.
Her parents have lived in Acapulco for 25 years. Even though they both attended grad school in the U.S., Mexico was always home.
And so they were like, we're going to go out, we're going to get educated, and we come back to build Mexico. And that's basically what they've done.
They raised their two daughters, Vero and her sister, in Morelos. And when it was time to retire, they used their life savings and took out a loan to buy an apartment in what they thought of as paradise. They never expected a hurricane to take away everything they had. Luckily, they were on vacation, away from Acapulco, when Otis hit. They were actually visiting Vero during her sabbatical in Oaxaca, a southern state in Mexico. Even though they were safe, after the hurricane, many difficult conversations came for the Ocampo family.
We've had to have these conversations of múdense con nosotros, and also thinking about, like, well, do we sell the casa in Acapulco or do you move here?
Vero says that helping her parents hasn't been as easy as she thought it would be. The situation is overwhelming, not only because she's not in Acapulco, but also because she has been away from Mexico for too long.
And to be honest, like me being on the other side of the border, it's incredibly frustrating because I'm at the age where I am completely and utter willingness to take care of my parents. I love my parents. I have a lot of professional capital and social capital, but it's all in the U.S. I don't know how to process things in Mexico. So I've spent a lot of, you know, sort of emotional power and in moments in which I wish I could tell my parents, like, relájense, yo lo hago, simplemente yo no sé cómo hacerlo.
She wishes she could say, relax, I've got this, but she doesn't feel like she does. She was prepared for her parents getting old or getting sick, but not for something like this. Vero is worried about more frequent and stronger hurricanes. Otis made her realize that climate change is not something that will happen in the future. It's happening now. She has seen bigger tornadoes in Minnesota, where she lives. Her friends have been impacted by wildfires in California, and her sister has been evacuated from her house in Miami twice due to other hurricanes.
Here I am pretending in my mind that it might come, and it's actually been on me, surrounding me, and impacting people like me for a very long time. So yeah, you know, I think we don't want to think about it. And what is the contingency plan? Like, where are you going to move to?
What is the contingency plan? Vero's parents' apartment in Acapulco was so badly damaged, they are not sure if they want to continue living there. Should they invest in hurricane-proof windows, or should they repair the apartment and sell? For now, Vero would like her parents to move in with her. Her immigration status would allow her to bring her parents to the U.S. She has considered it more than once, but it's not as easy as it sounds.
If we were to move them to the U.S., they lose medical health. I mean, Mexico has, even though the Seguro Social and stuff is a mess, you know, lo tienen, y tienen la pensión. They would lose the pension.
Even with these concerns, having her parents living with her would make everything so much easier. So Vero has tried multiple times to convince them to migrate.
And so I kind of broached the subject of, like, how about if we immigrate you, you know? They are not ready. Their resounding was that no, because they're like, somos mexicanos y trabajamos toda nuestra vida para poder vivir en México y no les gusta Estados Unidos, o sea, y especialmente Minnesota, pues frío, peor.
We are Mexicans, they said, and we worked our whole life to be able to live in Mexico. Plus, they don't like the U.S., especially the idea of being in the cold Minnesota weather.
They don't want that. And so it's like, you know, with aging parents, it's a really hard thing to impose what their life is. And as long as that they're all, you know, my dad has dementia now, but as long as they're both alive and together, they want to stay in Acapulco.
Acapulco is what they want to call home for the rest of their lives. I mean, why wouldn't they? Acapulco has been an important city, not only for Vero's parents, but for many others. Mexican and Americans have named it the Pearl of the Pacific, a paradise where dreams come true. Only 4 hours away from Mexico City, during the 40s and 50s, Acapulco became a seaside destination for international celebrities. This was the place where John F. Kennedy and Jackie Kennedy had their honeymoon. The town Frank Sinatra, Neil Diamond, and Elvis all sang about. Americans know it for its luxurious hotels, exotic cliff divers, and beautiful sunsets over the Pacific Ocean. For Mexicans, Acapulco is part of who we are as a country. If you're Mexican, you know where Acapulco is, and you have probably dreamt about going there or have visited at least once. In Acapulco, there was space for everyone, for the rich and poor alike. Acapulco is everywhere in Mexican culture. In Agustín Lara and Natalia Lafourcade's music, in our most famous movies, like La Risa en Vacaciones. In fact, whole movie plots are based on going to Acapulco, like Por la Libre.
¿Y si quieres, te vienes a vivir conmigo en Acapulco?
Vente a Acapulco conmigo, te va a alivianar.
But since the 2010s, Acapulco has been gaining a reputation for drug-related violence. And as they were cleaning that image up, Hurricane Otis landed and created a new danger for the Pearl of the Pacific. Even people who thought they were prepared were not ready for the hurricane's devastation.
Mi casa era una cascada, prácticamente.
My house was practically a waterfall. That is Pamela Contreras Franco, Aitana's mother, the woman who sent a desperate message after the hurricane asking her cousin for help. She and her husband built their home in such a way to avoid it from flooding during hurricanes. But even so, they still found themselves surrounded by water that night. It felt as if, over a matter of hours, Otis had created a new river on her street.
Volaron algunas láminas de la casa, del techo. Entonces el agua se nos metía tanto por arriba como por abajo.
Otis took part of her roof, so water was coming into her house from above and also through the doors.
Y el ruido que trajo Otis fue algo estremecedor, o sea, fue algo que nunca, nunca habíamos escuchado.
The wind was like nothing they had ever heard before. Pamela says it sounded as if it carried sorrows and moans from her neighbors. She was worried about her 19-year-old daughter who lives nearby. At the same time, Pamela was trying to tell Aitana, her 4-year-old, that it was all just a game. The next morning, she was in shock when she saw the effects of Otis on the small restaurant she owns. She even recorded a video of the place. You can hear her neighbor's music in the background and her footsteps on the mud.
No tenemos luz. La comida se echó a perder. No hay agua. Todo está destruido.
Everything fell. Her refrigerators, her furniture. There was no power, so the food had gone bad. There was also no water. Everything had been destroyed, she said. In the video, you can see inches of mud everywhere. Across Acapulco, streets were covered with pieces of metal roofs that, like Pamela's, had been torn off by the wind. People couldn't get out of their buildings because water tanks or trees were everywhere blocking their way. The president of Mexico, Andrés Manuel López Obrador, spoke to the nation about the crisis.
Nuestra preocupación mayor es la carretera de la Costa Grande y la población.
Our biggest concern, he said, are the roads and the people. But it quickly became apparent that the government was overwhelmed by the extent of the destruction.
At the beginning, the response was very slow.
Nacheli Ruiz Rivera studies disaster response at the National Autonomous University of Mexico.
In the first days, civil society organizations and the Red Cross were the ones who filled the space and started distributing aid because the government was completely absent.
When the Mexican federal government finally sent help, it wasn't enough.
Mexican president deploying more than 10,000 troops and 1,000 government workers to deal with the aftermath. Government officials unveiling a $3.4 billion recovery plan, but experts estimate the cost of the damage could be as high as $15 billion.
But Nacheli explains that while they were very helpful, the army shouldn't be the only first responders to a natural disaster.
You cannot ask the army to find your parents. So that illustrates the importance of having these community-based organizations, even though they are not related to disaster. And maybe they have no previous experience in disaster aid. But even in that case, they step by and they do what they have to do.
That's exactly what happened after Otis. Grassroots organizations stepped up and helped, not just local ones. Migrant federations from states like Texas and California and cities like Las Vegas and Chicago sent donations. The immigrant community is a big part of the country's economy. Mexico receives more remittances, money that migrants send back home, than any other country except India. In 2023, remittances reached a record of $63 billion, surpassing Mexico's oil exports. When a devastating earthquake hit Mexico City in 2017, migrant groups organized fundraisers to send money for reconstruction and to pay rescue workers. They also collected donated goods and flew them to Mexico City on a private plane. So, when Otis hit, the Mexican immigrant community in the U.S. knew what to do. However, for resources to be distributed in Acapulco, somebody had to be doing the work on the ground. Remember Juvenal Santa Maria Contreras and his organization Guerrero Migrante? Well, Juvenal was one of those who helped.
Mi papá nos enseñó esa característica y como que si no lo hago, no me siento a gusto en esta vida.
His dad taught him to always be involved in his community. So not helping others doesn't feel right, Juvenal says. And even though he's never been an immigrant himself, he devotes his free time to Guerrero Migrante. Before the hurricane, their main focus was reuniting families that were separated by immigration and distributing donations from Mexicans living in the U.S.
Si ellos nos dan el apoyo, nosotros buscamos la manera de buscar a quien más lo necesite y entregárselo.
If the immigrant community sends help, we find someone in need, he says. Then he added,
Estamos locos, ¿verdad?
We're crazy, right? When Otis hit, Pamela's audio was what made Juvenal jump into action. But once he saw the extent of the devastation, he realized more help was needed.
Empecé a contactar a los miembros de la organización.
Juvenal says that he sent photos to people in the U.S. to show them how bad the situation was. Immigrant federations bought food and water online so Juvenal could pick it up in his hometown of Chilpancingo and take it to the coast. But just as the immigrant community sent help, they also needed it. Like Nakshali said, you cannot ask the army to find your parents. Juvenal recalls that people in the U.S. contacted Guerrero Migrante to help find their relatives.
De los que nos llamaron, tratar de localizar a sus familiares.
The members of the organization helped bridge the communication gap by visiting families in Acapulco. Then, once back in Chilpancingo where phone service was working, they would call people in the U.S. to update them on how their families were doing. They also delivered supplies to families that had been devastated by the hurricane. Guerrero Migrante did this for more than 50 families. Sayla and Vero are trying to help their parents move on from the devastation caused by Otis. Sayla gifted her mom and sister a vacation. Vero is trying to decide what's the best way to get her parents back home to Acapulco. Both have been forced to add hurricanes and climate change to the list of concerns as they think about the future. There are questions that immigrants struggle with in deciding to move. What if life is not better on the other side of the border? What about the family members you left behind? With the impact of climate change, finding answers to these questions is only getting harder. Guerrero Migrante is wrestling with their own questions. Otis forced Juvenal's organization to change its focus. Since the Mexican government has not created a new contingency plan for natural disasters, organizations like Guerrero Migrante are doing their best to fill in the gaps and prepare for the next hurricane or earthquake.
Fíjate que con esta experiencia ya tocamos el punto en las reuniones, en uno de los puntos que acordamos.
Juvenal says that in their most recent meetings, they discussed reaching out to bigger organizations that could train them to be first responders in case of natural disasters. They have also started to create a database with migrant federations in the U.S. This will allow them to connect families more quickly. At the same time, Pamela is fixing her house to be more hurricane resistant. She replaced some of the windows to construct a wall and even got a different door. She's also building a stronger roof out of concrete.
Lo hemos vivido y lo hemos ido viviendo que va subiendo como de nivel esta.
Pamela is rebuilding her life, but she is scared about the next big storm. She tells her daughters to look for jobs in other cities, away from Acapulco. But even as she urges them to consider alternatives to living in a tourist city, she sees problems everywhere, many of them caused by climate change.
Pero yo creo que también en otros lugares pues pasan otras cosas. A lo mejor es la inseguridad, a lo mejor son los temblores.
I believe other places have other problems, Pamela says. Some places aren't safe. In others, there are too many earthquakes. Or there's water shortages. Wherever you'll go, there will be something, she says.
This story was written and produced for Feeding Two Worlds by Greta Diaz-Gonzalez Vasquez. It was mixed and mastered by our technical director, Jocelyn Gonzalez. Quincy Surismith is our managing editor. Alejandro Salazar Dyer is our director of marketing. And Treya Agarwal is our intern. The executive producer of Feeding Two Worlds is John Rudolph. Our theme music and original score are by Fareed Sajjan. Home Interrupted, Who Sends Help When Hurricanes Strike? Used additional music from Epidemic Sound. You can find information about our music in our episode notes. Special thanks to Norma Nieta Castillo, Rosalba Ramirez Hernandez, and Magali Ariza Urostegui. You can find links to the additional stories in the series in our episode notes. To listen to earlier episodes of Home Interrupted, visit fi2w.org. That's fi2w.org. I'm Iggy Mondo, editorial fellow with Feeding Two Worlds. If you like the show, thank you. We appreciate you. Please keep listening, and please leave us a review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen to your stories. Home Interrupted comes to you from Feet in Two Worlds. Since 2004, Feet in Two Worlds has been telling the stories of today's immigrants and training immigrant journalists. The Feet in Two Worlds network includes hundreds of reporters and editors. Some, like me, have been Feeding Two Worlds fellows. Others have attended our workshops and contributed to our podcast and website. Together, we're making American journalism more reflective of the diverse communities that we serve.
Feed in Two Worlds is supported by the John D. and Catherine T. MacArthur Foundation, the Ford Foundation, the Fernandez Pave the Way Foundation, the David and Catherine Moore Family Foundation, an anonymous donor, and listeners like you. Support our work that brings immigrant voices and award-winning journalism to public radio, podcasts, and digital news sites. Make a tax-deductible contribution today at fi2w.org. That's fi2w.org.